Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Greetings to you in the name of Jesus. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Mark Taransky is the senior pastor of Pacific Islands Bible Church and executive director of New Horizons Counseling on Oahu. A professional counselor with over 20 years of experience, Mark is a member of the AACC, a certified addictions and recovery specialist, wellness counselor, and marriage life coach. He was trained as a clergyman, and he got his start with counseling in the ministry. But soon he began to see that he had a natural gift for helping others. He's the author of Figure It, Face It, and Fix It, Your Surprising Solution to Addiction Substance Abuse. Mark lives on Oahu with his wife Cheryl, their two daughters, Taylor and Riley. He's a lover of the outdoors, beaches, motorsports, racing, motorcycle riding, and other forms of outdoor recreation. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. To know His love, He who loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins and mine and Pastor Mark's. Shed His blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried and He rose again on the third day. The living Christ, my friend, calls you to Himself, whatever you might be facing. And if you are in a pit of despair in regards to a certain form of addiction, well, you're in for a blessing today. This is a special program interview which was previously recorded and presented to you here. Pastor Mark Taransky sharing heart to heart with me and you. Listen, open your heart to what the Lord has to say from a dear friend, Mark Taransky. Mark, how did you become a part of New Horizons?
First of all, hi, Danny. It's great to be connected with you again, and our history goes a long way back, so yes, it's just wonderful to be ministering
indeed
side by side with you today again. Well, I'll tell you, it's a miracle as far as I'm concerned. I now look back and see my affiliation and my acquiring New Horizons Counseling as a miracle. It's from God, and it came out of my own pain. Pastor Wayne spent time mentoring me, and he says, from your pain comes your purpose. And I struggled with drugs and alcohol. I started doing drugs back in the 70s. When I was 13, I started drinking, doing drugs. It was all part of that 70s kind of a scene, like many people. And about 10 years into it, I was able to walk away from a lot of the legal drugs like cocaine and LSD and mescaline and acid and even pot. But I picked up the bottle because it was more sociably acceptable to drink. And I started drinking, and pretty soon it escalated over an additional 10 years. So at this point, I've been doing this drug and alcohol thing, or at least the alcohol now, for I'm at the 20-year point. And the alcohol started being a real problem in my life. And I was full-blown believer, but I was ensnared in the slavery of addiction. And that's when I walked into New Horizons Counseling.
How did you get started at the age of 13? What went on back then that got you, a 13-year-old, into drugs?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question because everybody's got their own journey and their story, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, a lot of times you hear about, well, peer pressure, you know, and he's with the bad kids or the wrong kids, and they, you know, conned him into using. That wasn't the case with me. I grew up in a very, very conservative Christian home. My dad was a pastor. We went to church my entire life, and I chose to rebel. And my perception of my life at that time was I just didn't feel understood. I felt like I was controlled. And that wasn't necessarily, you know, the truth. Everybody has their version of the truth. That was my perception. And so the way that I decided I was going to express myself, if you will, was to go against the value system that I'd been raised with. Mm-hmm. And that was my angry side coming out of my parents. Well, if this is what they stand for, well, I'm going to exercise control by doing something that they don't want me to do, and I'm going to do it undercover, and I'm going to do it behind the scenes, and I'm going to do it deceitfully so that I can feel like I'm in control. And so I went to, you know, some people in my junior high school at the time that I knew, you know, were smoking pot and doing drugs and drinking. And I asked them, hey, would you, you know, smoke pot with me? That, I remember going up to the particular guy in my school and asking him, and he said, what? You know, yeah, would you smoke pot with me? Would you get me a beer, you know, from your dad's fridge? And that kind of launched me into being enamored and allured into this whole thrilling aspect of drugs and alcohol and being bad. And I was just, you know, really kind of drawn toward that as a nice Christian boy.
What is it about, or what was it for you? Because I think it relates with others in a similar situation. A boy growing up, a parent in ministry, parents in ministry. What is it, from your vantage point, Mark, that may tend to bring that out or make that such a tempting thing for someone growing up in that that kind of environment?
Well, you know, scripturally speaking, we know it's the flesh, and we all battle with the flesh. And so, yes. But how that, you know, realizes itself in each one of us is our journey. And for me, you know, I felt a sense of powerlessness with all the rules and the regulations and the expectations of being a pastor's kid and, you know, you've got to be good and just all these things that came my way. I didn't like that, and I felt I was being stuck in a mold that I didn't like. I didn't like my friend said, you can't do bad things. You're a pastor's kid. That just really, you know, or even from my parents, who were well-meaning, they, you know, we grew up in a glass house. And so if I did misbehave, and what would the people in the church think, you know, of you know, mm-hmm. This was kind of the way it was. And so for me, I chose to, there was a thrill about going out and being bad. I wanted to be bad. And there was a sense of control. I came to understand later, you know, I had to kind of figure this out for myself. Mm-hmm. And this was part of my own underlying causes of why I use. And that's important for anybody who's in addiction, is to know why they use. What do you get out of it? Well, what I was getting out of it was I was getting this thrill. I was getting a sense of power that I was putting one over. I went to a Christian school, and I was I had all the outside trappings of being this great Christian guy. But on the flip side of that, I was using, and I was getting away with it, and it was a real power trip for me. And so for me, it was all about control and a power. And addiction is about, it's a way to control our emotions, a way to control our stress, a way to control all sorts of things. And that's, I tapped into that, and, you know, it was alluring to me.
A bit of a segue of sorts. Who would you say, Mark, influenced you most in your growing up years?
Oh, wow. You know, as I look, you know, I think our parents influence us more than we think. And in many ways, I vowed to myself, well, I'm not going to ever be like my father, and I'm not going to do that. And then later on in your life, you look back and you find you're doing similar things. So,
right.
So where's the influential factor there, right? But, you know, I remember people coming in and out of my life who spoke into my life. And I remember one guy named Hal Hobbs, and he would take me on his motorcycle, and we would go out and play pool, and he was just cool. He was a believer. He was in the church, but there was something real about him, something authentic, and he explored me as a person, and he asked questions, and I didn't feel judged or put into a box by him. And he was one of the most influential persons I can remember that to this day I rode over here on my motorcycle. You know, and
I see your jacket.
Yeah, man. I got my motorcycle jacket. And I like to, you know, play pool and do, you know, there's, but that type of persona, it wasn't necessarily the motorcycle, the pool. It was that he loved me. And he accepted me, and he asked questions of me, and he showed interest in me. And that was influential in my life. That was the type of person that I would allow then to speak into my life, where the rules and regs didn't really, you know, they inflamed my own natural sense of rebellious spirit.
Sounds like some kind of like a social decompression chamber with hell. You could just be yourself.
Yes.
Don't have to, you know, live up to someone's expectations, and just, and he was free.
And he was free.
So that freedom,
absolutely,
you know, was something that you looked at,
yes,
and attracted to.
I think in the faith we call it grace,
mm-hmm,
acceptance, mm-hmm, unconditional,
yeah,
love. That's what I, you know, that's the compassionate nature of Jesus was that way. Why were people just attracted to him? You know, because of these qualities, I'm sure.
And it's liberating to see that in the body of believers, to see that modeled through someone who, yeah, is free in Christ, and it emanates from them, this kind of grace.
It is, and when we do see it in the body of Christ, we're attracted to it, and sometimes we don't see it,
mm-hmm,
because people get caught up with more of a pharisaical approach, and we all kind of default into that every once in a while. We've got to,
sure,
rein that back in, you know, mm-hmm, and make sure we're keeping ourselves in check through the whole
spirit. And sometimes, perhaps it's not always the case, but I think sometimes the Lord uses our own brokenness, our own failings, our own stumblings to loosen us up in life as believers.
It should be that way. I said from your pain comes your purpose. Well, how about from your mess comes your message?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really that. If we allow our brokenness to, first of all, be shown to the world, hey, this is me. I'm authentic. I'm real. I'm not perfect. People are drawn toward that because they'll sense our genuine nature, and then they'll be more open in that.
So it's quite a process when you grow in your faith, grow in Christ, that the jostlings of life, and we do get, you know, moved from here to there. Sometimes it's by our own volition that we make these changes, and other times, well, we just find ourselves moved or redirected into a place that we may or may not have expected or may perhaps even wanted to go. It's in those places that God often, he uses that to reshape us. And as we were talking, loosen us up. Be more gracious, be more understanding, be more relatable. Yeah, relatable to others. Because we live in a world of hurt, and we need to connect with people's hurt and then bring the love of Christ in the midst of that. Mark Taransky will share more about his journey with regard to this when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
When you get into a place where things get out of control, and then you find out, well, as you'll find out today, it's because we really are trying to be in control. So the out of control addictions are related to our yearnings and desire and a compulsion to be in control. Well, what do you do? What do you do when things begin to fall apart and you realize that the fingertips that were on the handles of life begin to get frayed and slippery and things begin to fall away, fall out? Mark Taransky, who is the executive director of New Horizons Substance Abuse, Addiction, and Marriage Counseling Program, is in studio with us in this pre-recorded interview with Mark, who is a pastor as well as the executive director, sharing heart to heart. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. To get this program in its entirety, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get the program for free, the whole thing, free podcast, that and other resources. And to find out more about New Horizons, newhorizonshawaii.com. And now, here's more in this interview with Mark Taransky.
You know, it's really that if we allow our brokenness to, first of all, be shown to the world, hey, this is me, I'm authentic, I'm real, I'm not perfect. People are drawn toward that. Because they'll sense our genuine nature, and then they'll be more open in that.
So from the age of 13 when you started using, how many years went on while this sort of duality was going on, and a sense of control, because you were, you know, if you got control, you're pulling the wool over someone's eyes.
Sure.
How long did that go on, and what happened? What happened next?
Well, in its fullest extent, 20 years. If I were to take the whole thing, 20 years. You know, in that, I kind of made some changes with the drugs and alcohol, moved down to alcohol. Alcohol was more socially acceptable, even in the Christian circles. You know, it's okay to drink, just don't be drunk. Well, what's your idea of what moderation is? You know, everybody's got an idea of that, and you can play the game. I know I certainly was. I'm all for people drinking. I just was not a moderate drinker. And that was my reality. And as that escalated in my life, things started to unravel. And I just, you know, the Holy Spirit was so patient with me. And even in the times that I grieved the Holy Spirit, it was God's kindness that led me to repentance. And so as, you know, Hebrews tells us, because God loves us as our Heavenly Father, He will discipline His sons. And so in that nature of just being, you know, getting your ear slapped back and feeling pain, you know, what we call hitting bottom, perhaps, I finally came to the point where I was ready to, well, I often was ready. I went to AA. I went to different things. I was always searching for something that helped me, but I didn't find it until I walked into New Horizons Counseling in the mid-90s, and that was the ticket to my life change right there.
When you came to New Horizons, when things escalated or came to that point, were you involved in ministry?
Oh, absolutely.
During that process? So you're in ministry while this is all going on?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been involved in ministry full time since 1984. We're talking the mid 90s here. With youth pastor, you and I, worship leader, mm-hmm. doing the whole mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even us pastor, you know, youth pastor ministry types can be affected and are affected, yes. by addiction. Absolutely.
So ministry and family. How did your family, how was your family life affected, and then your ministry affected by it?
Well, this was kind of pre-kids for me, but we had children late. But as far as how it affected my wife, addiction shuts you down from emotionally connecting with others. Addiction always has a relational component. It isolates you. It causes you to withdraw. You might even be the same room as your spouse or your significant other or some, you know, anyone you're dealing with. But addiction will take you and isolate you. It'll take you out because you don't want people to know. Your mind will be distant. You're not able to really connect with them on an emotional level. And so it made a tremendous – and then, of course, if you're leading a dual life, even with my wife, she didn't even know. I was that good, okay? But that was all part of my thrill of feeling like I'm so smart, I can put it over on the world, I can do this addiction, I'm in control. There was all wrapped up into that, you know. It's very unhealthy, but that was my reality. And I had to come to grips with that, and a lion's share, as I now understand, it's not really the substance. The substance, I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's cocaine, I don't care if it's alcohol, it's only a symptom of a greater problem. And if you don't allow and work with the Holy Spirit to look at the greater problem, the underlying cause of your addiction, you'll just substitute something else and become addicted to something else or relapse again. And so I really needed to deal with the matters of the heart. And as I did, this was my self-discovery that I came up with for myself, that God in his gracious has helped me to understand, was this whole element of control, and also this desire I had to be bad, what I call being bad. I wanted to be bad, you know, and to feed that with the alcohol and the addiction, and not to channel that into something that would be productive for God.
You tried numerous things. You said Alcoholics Anonymous and other types of programs. Did it ever get discouraging where you felt like, man, I tried that, it didn't work? Because, you know, you go through the emotions of, hey, this is going to be the life change for me.
Yeah.
And you can envision, you know, your heart is sincere, you want to change, and then you relapse. And sometimes the relapse is worse than it was before. I mean, you get more depressed. How did you deal with that?
Well, I think, did you ever get discouraged was your question. I probably a better word would be devastated. Mm. You know, I remember at times trying this program and that program. By the way, I'm not anti-AA. I mean, for some people it worked. It just did not resonate with me. And some of the other, you know, I tried going and just going to Bible studies, and had an online mentor that was working with me through a particular addiction program. And, you know, whatever it was, I tried these things.
You fell on your knees. You had people praying for you. Praying
fell
for deliverance.
On my face. That I remember, you know, falling on my face in the floor and just crying out to God, Lord, please take this from me. I'm so enslaved and I'm so unhappy. Yeah, I was devastated in that time. I was desperate in that time. My first time I walked into the New Horizons counseling with this lady, Katie, who was the owner of it at the time, I bawled my eyes out because I was just so tired and not knowing where to go. But God led me to this woman, and through this program, it changed my life. And there's reasons why it changed my life. And that is why I'm doing it nowadays, that now God has allowed me to actually – I own the program now. The practice is now mine, and I'm able to take this vision forth. And there's a reason why it's so powerful. And that's what I'm so excited about in doing this particular ministry. I do this thing called Treatment Camp, Danny, and last week I did one. And for a whole week, I ran a camp up on the North Shore. People come, and they do my program in a week format. And at the beginning of this week, which was April 6th, Sunday, I have 10 people come, because I only work with 10 at a time, and they come in and they're broken and they're drunk and they're high and they're detoxing and they're bouncing off the walls. And then you come 6 days later and you see the graduation where they're, they stand up and they say, my life has been absolutely changed. This is the most profound thing I've ever done. And when they say that, I get it. Because the program is so counterintuitive and it's so different than anything out there that it actually can grip a person's soul and turn them around in a very short amount of time. And that's what happened with me.
Take us further. What happened? What happened on the inside and what was the program like?
What happened on the inside was that I had to find a program that worked with my human nature and not against my human nature. And most programs out there, even, frankly, you know, as a full-on believer, I'm going to say this, even a lot of Christian programs are based on what you can't do. And they're based on a kind of a negative approach. So they're going to come and they're going to say, okay, here you are, part of the program. Let me tell you all the things you can't do. You can't, you know, hang out with people, these types of people. You can't go to these kinds of places that you might associate with. You can't do these types of things if you've already coupled them with your addiction. And so you set yourself up for deprivation, and the stopping process becomes negative. And whenever anything is negative, we will not hold on to it. The stopping process, if you're going to choose to stop, needs to be positive. It needs to be reversed. Because negativity sets us up for deprivation. I feel like I'm being deprived. I feel like I'm not having fun. I feel like I can't do this thing I want to do. And all the can'ts and the have-tos just war against your human nature. And you might put up for a little while, like I did with other programs. But pretty soon you'll cast it off and you'll go, forget this.
And sometimes people do it for years.
They do it for years. They cycle that for years. We call it the cycle of deprivation, where the stopping is regarded as a punishment because it's so negative and I'm missing out and I can't do this fun thing that I want to do. And then they hold on, they white knuckle for a little while. And then after a while they say, forget it. And they go back into addiction and their addiction becomes the reward. And so as long as you're doing that cycle where stopping becomes the punishment and using again becomes the reward, you will stay stuck and enslaved in your addiction for years. And most programs are based on that premise. It's all about what you can't do, what you have to do. And it wars against the human nature that we have, each one of us. It brings out our rebellious spirit. The approach that the New Horizons approach that I use reverses that cycle. It's all positive. There's no can'ts and there's no have-tos in this program. And the carrot, if you will, is your benefits. What do you want? Let's take out the negativity of it, of I have to. You don't have to do anything because that's the truth. You don't have to stop drinking, but if I choose to, this is what my life is going to look like. And when we reverse that cycle, we're stopping, we regard it as a reward, and the thought of using again, we think of as a punishment, then you've made the switch inside and you're free.
Mark Taransky goes on to explain how his program is being used by the Lord to transform lives in the pit of addiction. How lives are being changed. New Horizons Substance Abuse, Addiction, and Marriage Counseling. You can find out more at newhorizonshawaii.com. You can email him, info@newhorizonshawaii.com. And call him, 808-484-1000. If you're at the end of the rope, or you know somebody who is at the end of the rope, whether they realize it or not, here's a point of reference, a contact, someone who believes with all his heart, with a biblical foundation of his understanding and the way that he sees his program, someone that can give you hope in the midst of this difficulty. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Someone has said that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over, hoping that you'll get a different result. Well, many have tried to overcome addiction and have fallen short along the way, well, left with disappointment, despair, frustration, maybe exasperated. But a new perspective here. Mark Taransky is presenting a new perspective. So much, he says, of what is presented historically when it comes to addiction recovery has to do with negative influences, negative motivators. He says, well, no, look, we need to turn things on this, turn things positive. And he uses, he stands on the foundation of Scripture as to why we should and can and will be released, free, set free from addiction. And he explains that in this pre-recorded interview. And in this segment, he goes on further to explain the biblical foundations of where he's coming from. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. That's what you're listening to right now. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm glad you're with us. Find out more about New Horizons at newhorizonshawaii.com. Phone number 484-1000 and email info@newhorizonshawaii.com. Now, here's more with the executive director, Mark Taransky.
Let's take out the negativity of it, of I have to. You don't have to do anything because that's the truth. You don't have to stop drinking. But if I choose to, this is what my life is going to look like. And when we reverse that cycle, we're stopping, we regard it as a reward, and the thought of using again, we think of as a punishment. Then you've made the switch inside, and you're free. And that's systematically what this program does.
And that's what grabbed hold of you.
That's what grabbed hold of my life. Because, let's go back now to my 13, 14-year-old days and everything. It was all about what I couldn't do. It was all about, realizing my rebellious spirit and getting out there and trying to prove to everybody that I can do. Don't tell me what I can't do. And so when a program came along and reversed that for me, it went with my human nature instead of against my human nature. It's like this, Dan. If you went to sand a board, okay, you can either sand against the grain or with the grain. We know if you work with wood that if you sand against the grain, it's going to rough it all up and create a mess. But if you sand with the grain, it's going to be smooth and it's going to be easier. And that's the difference. There are programs and approaches out there that are well-meaning, but they work against the grain of humanity, of our human spirit, of our rebelliousness, of our flesh. Let's work with it and move us in a positive direction. I think that's what God intended when he wrote, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Well, that's a backwards way of thinking. We often think, and many of us have that ideal of God that it's really the God up there that's going to just strike us dead with lightning that's going to lead us to repentance. And of course, God has a holy and just nature. I'm not disavowing that, but it's uncanny what God does. He loves us and woos us into his graces, just like a loving Heavenly Father would.
What kind of addictions do you work with?
Well, this program is for any kind of behavior change you want to make, first of all, okay? It's universal in its approach. But the addictions I work with are all the drug addictions. I don't care if it's smoking pot, to cocaine, to methamphetamines, to heroin, to, and of course, drinking. But we also deal with behavior addictions like gambling, food addictions, internet pornography, shopping, you name it. Any of those are what I work with and who goes to. I've had people go through my program with relationship addictions. Mm-hmm. So it all fits and it all works.
What would a relationship addiction be?
Relationship addiction is where someone keeps defaulting to an ideal of romance that they keep going, moving toward obtaining a boyfriend or a girlfriend in this case in order to fill a hole inside. And that becomes their addiction because they think that through relationship, through an emotional connection, they're going to be okay, or it helps them to feel better about themselves, or it gives them a sense of identity. And so they will pick all sorts of their people pickers, usually broken, and they pick people that will not be helpful for them in their future, and it ends up to be a disaster. And then that one ends, and then they turn around and get another one because they're looking to relationships to fill that void.
Give us a glimpse of someone, a picture of someone who has gone through relationships. How many, how often does that typically happen? What is it like?
Okay, well, let me use an example of, I won't say their name for privacy purposes, but someone who came to my my treatment camp that I had last week. I had several people there that married 3-4 times. Okay, this was a common thing. One individual had been married, was on their fourth marriage, and that one, there she was going home, and she was going to, get a divorce. So that one was coming to an end. She had been running from relationships with her children all her life. She was stuck in in her mid-50s, but she stuck in the 20-year-old mindset of just wanting to party and blow off responsibility. And she left all of her kids behind emotionally and has abandoned them emotionally. And they say to her, Mom, how come you're out? How come you want to just stay a forever 20-year-old? Why don't you be the mom that I need you to be? Why don't you be the grandparent to our kid that we need you to be? But she'd be off flitting from one. She came here to the islands, met some guy, got married within 2 months, and now that's going to end in divorce. This is the commonality of relationship addiction. You're just running from stressful relationships, moving toward cotton candy relationships. Looks great, but not satiating. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And doing that over and over and over again, but feeling lonely and broken and messed up inside and a failure and in great guilt and shame. She comes to my program. She goes through the program, and it completely transforms her life. God completely transforms her life.
Guilty and shame about what?
My behavior. I'm violating my own value system. I know that.
So he or she knows that something is awry.
Absolutely, because we're made in the image of God. And so when we violate the principles of God, whether we know them or not, okay, we're going to feel that we're violating a value system that's innate within me. I know that I should be responsible, but I'm not, and therefore I feel shame about that. I know that I shouldn't be bouncing from relationship to relationship, and there's something wrong here, but I keep doing it, and I'm violating my own value system, but I keep doing that. I know I should be closer to my kids and that they have needs, but I'm blowing them off because I want to just be doing my own selfish thing. I know that, but I keep doing that, but I feel guilt and shame about that, and I don't get out of the cycle of doing that. And so I just live in guilt and shame. And then how do I feel better? I use. Because when I use a drink or whatever, then that cuts the edge off of the guilt and shame. Then I can manage that. But then when I get sober, I then feel guilty about using. So then I use again. And then we're in what's called a guilt and shame cycle.
Mm. And this happens with all addiction?
All addiction.
The guilt and shame cycle.
Absolutely. This self-loathing. You know, I'll go back to my own personal testimony. I mean, every morning when I was full on in my addiction, I wake up and I go, oh, man. Look in the mirror. You're such a hypocrite. You're such a loser. You can't get a hold of this thing. You can receive success in every area of life, but you're messing up in this one. You call yourself a Christian? You're not only not a very good Christian, maybe you're not even a Christian at all. And let's now go on to how bad of a husband you are. I mean, you know, you just spend the first hour beating yourself up and then swearing you'll never do it again. By 5 o'clock that evening, you're taking your next drink. That's the guilt and shame cycle. Mm-hmm. That's the self-loathing that goes on. And it happens. Yeah, you better believe it. I don't care if the addict says, oh, I don't need to change. And, you know, I'm okay. When they lay there by themselves at night and they're only with them, their own soul, and they do a personal evaluation, it's there.
Well, relationship addiction is one major thing that people go through. And there are other struggles, to say the least. Another of which would be internet pornography, another addiction. And Mark Taransky explains this in detail. And with an understanding of one who has done the research, one who has been trained, but one who understands the general impact of addictions as a whole. When someone can explain it like he can, just that alone, hearing somebody explain not only what's going on the inside of us, but how we can remedy, how things can be changed, so that things on the outside are impacted as well. And it just makes for a better life all around. Mark Taransky will be back with more from New Horizons. Mark Taransky will be back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, addiction. Addiction. When you're going through it, it's easy to feel ashamed. And you hide. You hide. Pretend that... maybe I should just use... What do? We pretend that it's not happening. We act. We know how to create a certain kind of image to keep people away from what's really going on. We live a double life. Hey, that let's just say it. It's a double life. Some of us are much better in fooling those around us. And of course, those closest to us, we need to be extra careful. But addiction is one of those things where you just know that your life is, well, you feel demoralized. You know your life is just literally falling apart. So what happens? Where do you go? What do? Who do you call? Well, you can call my friend Mark Taransky. Mark is the executive director of New Horizons. And he's one of those where, because of what he has gone through, he's not going to judge you. He's going to help make you better. With God's help and how God uses him to guide you from the scriptures. And he has a wonderful perspective. He's a man of compassion, understanding, and training. New Horizons. Mark Taransky, you can find out more at newhorizonshawaii.com. Give him a call. Give him a call. Email him. Contact him. 808-484-1000. That's 484-1000. NewHorizonsHawaii.com. And now here's more on a very touchy addiction. One where many are filled with shame and guilt. Here's more with Mark Taransky. Mark, let's talk about internet pornography as an addiction. Describe it for us. What's going on? It seems to be rampant in our society today.
Okay, well, again, what are the underlying causes? You know, we can come to someone who's involved in internet pornography and say, well, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Don't you know the Bible says if you look on a woman in lust that you have committed adultery in your own heart? All that is true. But then the person just keeps going back as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool to their folly, right? So if we're going to be compassionately working with somebody, anybody in addiction, we've got to look at the underlying cause so they can understand. Well, the underlying causes are sin. Well, of course, but how does sin manifest itself? How does brokenness manifest itself? It's just not the knowledge or label we put on it. I need to come to an awareness so I'm not being enslaved by it. How can I fix something I don't know what's broken? And so with internet pornography, we got usually a couple things going on here. Usually there is a... there oftentimes is a feeling of helplessness in their own relationship. Let's say we have a husband who's in a marriage and he does not know how to connect to his wife. He feels helpless and powerless in being able to change anything. He feels maybe in his relationship with his wife that he's just not measuring up. She's never happy with him. He can't seem to cut the mustard emotionally. He doesn't have this feeling language that she wants him to have. She's separating from him maybe emotionally or stepping back, and he's saying, you know, I try everything. I'm this good guy. I'm helping out around the house. I'm serving with the kids. And, you know, she doesn't appreciate me. She doesn't respect me. She doesn't, I'm a good provider. I bring home a good paycheck and nothing. I'm not getting anything. I feel helpless. I can't do anything. I can't do anything to make her happy. And there's anger there. Okay. And so I'm going to then, because I feel helpless in my emotional relationship with my wife, I feel out of control. There's no, it's always a control issue. I don't feel I'm in control of this environment. My wife is in control. I'm not in control. I just, you know, I don't know what to do in this situation. Now I flip on the internet, look at the pixels on the screen, and now I feel a sense of control. Here's something that's not, here's a picture that's not talking back to me. Here's a fantasy that's not, that I don't really have to work hard to achieve. Here's an idea in my mind that I don't have to emotionally connect to get. And so the control is, then I have a control, a feeling or sense of control in that moment where I can I can realize this my part of my sexuality, but in a way that doesn't interact with a real human being. And so that feeling of control, I will utilize it to its nth degree, but it's slowly and insidiously destroying the relationship. Because the intimacy isn't there. Because God created our testosterone drive, our sex drive, to move us toward our wives, in this case, with this scenario that I'm talking about. And mm-hmm. if I'm fulfilling that or satisfying that, then I'm not going to be interested in emotionally connecting with my wife. I don't need to. I'm getting this need that actually God designed to drive me toward that in another fashion. I mean, that's one scenario there. You can get an idea.
So a person is unfulfilled, unsatisfied, and disconnected.
This, all addictions have a relational component. Let's look at how God created us. God created us. He said, look, what is the, Jesus told us what the greatest command is. Love God, love others. So we were made as relational human beings. We were made to commune with our God, our Heavenly Father, and we were made to connect with one another. That's why over 20 times in the New Testament, the one another's are extant. You see them over and over and over again. Love one another, accept one another, build up one another, edify one another, grieve with one another, over and over and over. This is how God has created us. Addictions take us out of that relational design and move us into isolation. And so when it comes to internet pornography, that's what it does. It isolates. The sexual act and everything that goes around that is made to bring people together, to realize in its fullest extent God's design for love and relationship and loving relationship. When that is trifled with, it moves us off, and again, it isolates us. Now, if I'm believe, especially if I'm a believer and I'm involved with internet pornography, I have just not severed my relationship with God, but I'm shortchanging it. You know, I'm not feeling like going to worship right now, right? So there's something that there's a barrier there in my relationship with God that will have to be taken care of with confession and repentance. But then with my relationship with my wife, it moves me and separates me further as well. Instead of me coming to her for my needs or learning how to express my needs and learning how to be emotionally present, I found this way of dealing with life all by myself, independent. I'm over here independent. I can do my own thing. I don't need her. And if I don't need her, I'm in control. It's always about control.
Where does hurt and anger or frustration fall in with this?
Well, it has everything to do with it because as in psychology, we call it attachment theory. As we grow up in a broken world, okay, because you and I, we're subject to sin in a broken world. Mm-hmm. And so along the way, we're going to experience rejection. We're going to experience judgment. We're going to experience criticism. We're going to experience a range of negative emotions from those that we love, those that we care about. And so what do we do with that? We don't like that feeling. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be rejected. I don't like to be loved. I don't like to be passed over or disregarded or not nurtured or not cherished. I don't like those feelings. And so as I've experienced them in my life, I say to myself, okay, that was a negative feeling. I think what I'm going to do now is protect myself so I don't feel that again. And so I'm going to put in my life these barriers and walls and masks that allow me to keep pain at bay. And that's how I'm going to manage it. And we call this a relational imprint. People do it in a variety of different ways. And again, it's all about control. So I might use avoidance as a way to control my environment. So as soon as conflict comes up or I feel a sense where I'm being rejected by you, I just learn to put my head in the sand like an ostrich and avoid it. I might use pleasing as a way to control. I'll be the ultimate consummate servant. We see this a lot in Christianity, by the way. In order to connect with you, I'm going to serve. And my motto would be, if you're happy, I'm happy. Okay, but I'm not really authentically connecting with you. I'm only just trying to make you happy by doing things for you. I can use anger as a way to control my environment. If I'm angry, what happens? People run. Oh, I've just learned a way to control my environment, you see. Mm. I can use a victim mentality way of control. Every time heat comes my way or somebody expresses displeasure with me, I'll say, oh, you guys are always on my case. You guys, I can never do anything right. And what do people do? Oh, no, no, really, you're okay, you're good. I've just learned how to control you in my environment and make you feel sorry for me so I can keep doing what I want to do. It's always about control. We have to understand this is about control, and addiction is a part of that. When I feel these negative emotions, I just default into my addictive personality because then it makes me feel better in that moment.
The things you're saying are so revealing because you're peeling off the layers of how people operate, how they think, or how they might not even think it. They just learn. They learn to conduct themselves in a way, we could call it for survival.
Absolutely.
It works for them. But you're giving reasons why. And from what I'm gathering, whether it's internet pornography, whether it's relational addiction, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs of whatever kind, they are all related. And there are core or essential things that have to be addressed. You wrote a book, Figure It, Face It, and Fix It, Your Surprising Solution to Addictions and Substance Abuse, a book written by Mark Taransky, a remarkable blueprint for the life you imagine. You have endorsements here, Pastor Wayne Cordero, From Pain Comes Purpose. And Mark Taransky writes, with purpose, using these principles, overcoming addiction is not only possible, but achievable. That's Mark Taransky. And yeah, he did write a book. In fact, this is just part one of a two-part feature. And in part two, Mark Taransky, the author of Figure It, Face It, and Fix It, Your Surprising Solution to Addiction, Substance Abuse, he's going to explain more. In fact, we're going to just devote, for the most part, the entire program of part two on his book and the principles, the insights that he shares. So if this has had a way of connecting with you with regard to understanding yourself, you know, self-awareness is a very big thing in our growth, because until we know where we are, it's hard to know where we're going. And this will help us wherever it is you find yourself in your life. There is something here that will benefit you. It certainly benefited me. And of course, as we grow, others around us are blessed, and our testimony just gets stronger and stronger. Our witness for Christ becomes more vibrant, more relatable, and compelling. Then we become salt and light, just like Jesus said. Well, we're going to be back with part two. And so I hope that you've been encouraged by the thoughts and the insights of Mark Taransky. You can find out more at newhorizonshawaii.com. God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. If you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment. Open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do it? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I got a message for you there, video. And to help us with your financial support, make a donation. You can do that at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Partners. Job 26 verse 10 says, He marks out the horizon on the face of the waters for a boundary between light and darkness. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Mark Taransky. Find out more at newhorizonshawaii.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.